we often, you know, it's easy to see family resemblance, right? And if not 100% looks, you know, one or the other, you know, they act like one of the other parents, right? And you know, well, they're, that we know who that one belongs to, right? And sometimes we say and we use the, you know, we use the metaphor of, well, the apple doesn't fall far from the what? Far from the tree. And we mean that kind of stuff by that. The only thing that you have got to keep in mind about that is that there are storms that take place where the apple can end up in another county, right? And so, and I mean to say something by that, but just be that as it may. That's not my point. But there's, you know, and it's like, you know, growing up, it's like we're talking to people, and my kids, Bobby and Melody, who are here, they were perfect. It's all Tina, Christina, my oldest daughter. She's not here. I can pick on her. She was the worst. And it's like they do. She do something bad, and it's like, well, it's just like her mother, you know, just like her mother, you know, yeah. And anything good, well, hey, you know, it's that, you know. And so, but there are those kinds of things, and we see them, don't we? We have, you know, we come out in our kids, right? We come out in our kids. Like it or not, right? We come out in our kids. And so there's family resemblances, you know? Those of you who have siblings, you know, maybe you're more like, you know, one brother or sister than another. But there are these family resemblances that that we are all there. And, you know, and, I just want us to keep that in mind is where we're going this morning. And this is where we're going this morning, okay? I want to ask the question, am I growing through what I'm going through? Okay. Now, when you refer it to, you know, family and family resemblance, and kids and all of that nurturing that takes place in a home, there's often growing pains, right? That takes place. And parents trying to communicate to their kids, to their family, how it is that they are to grow up, right? And sometimes it's just plain old what? Painful. Painful. And so, again, asking the question, am I growing through what I'm going through? Okay? And let me say some things to try to make it come together for us. But I want to read from Peter. I want to, you know, try to lift from these couple of texts, capturing what I hope is the mind of the Lord for us today, okay? But 2 Peter, in your Bibles, 2 Peter, and I want to read just two passages from 2 Peter 3 and then 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to start in chapter 3 and work our way back, okay? So are you with me this morning? I promise you, as I always do, we'll get in and we'll get out. It's like, you know, and I know what you're thinking, Sheila, because you told me on Wednesday night when I said almost the same thing. You always say that. That's what she said. You always say that, but you don't abide by it. Well, okay, fair enough. It's true. So here we are. Everybody there, 2 Peter, I want to start at chapter 3. Let's start reading at verse 14. I'm after one word. Okay, see if you could pick it out. But start here. He says, so then, dear friends. So he's coming to his final remark. So then, dear friends. He says, since you are looking forward to this, since you're looking forward to Christ's return, he says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Now, will you notice those words, make every effort? Do you see that? Those are three good words to underline in your Bible. Make every effort. There's work to be done. There's work to be done being a Christian. You know, first of all, it doesn't come natural. Have you realized that already about being a Christian? It doesn't come natural. You know, usually it's the opposite. Usually I'm fighting what? to push down the you-know-what and keep my halo looking just right. Make every effort, he says. And then he says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. And I have to put that, thank God that's in there. Because in all of this process of growing pains, of growing through what we're going through, thank God he's patient with us, right? He's patient with us. Yesterday we were watching little Bobby, I don't know what you want to call it, practice soccer, whatever. And my first thought watching the coach with these other, I don't know, 4 and 5 year olds was, I'd rather drink poison. I'd rather drink poison than be out there doing what this coach is doing. He did a fine job. But you talk about patience that this guy's got to have. Ay, ay, ay. With all those little guys trying to teach him soccer. And our Lord's patience is endless. So in this process of growing, I'm grateful he's patient with me. And I'm grateful he's patient with you. Huh? He says, Lord, he says, it means salvation. He said, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with the wisdom God gave him. So he's talking about Paul's letters. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Now, you got to hear that. So it's like, you know, the Bible isn't easy to get. It's not. And you know, the idea is this. If God were easy to figure out, he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be God. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't give himself to be figured out. He does. But it's not all that easy. It's almost like saying, well, you know what? We just did the testing. And, you know, nowadays it's all done electronically or on all the gadget they use to determine, for instance, in Mexico, there are abandoned mines, gold mines, silver mines, whatever, gold mines, and from years ago. Well, companies have developed sophisticated equipment to take a peek into those mines and discover, boy, they left these mines long ago, but they left a fortune behind yet. You know? And you know, so they got the sophisticated data machinery to be able to look and take a see, you know, what's going on there. That's the easy part. Now they got to go and mine it all out. And boy, you talk about work. And so it is when it comes to God's word, when it comes to growing. That we have this conceptual idea, as we're going to even be speaking about how it is God's intention for me to be like Jesus. And conceptually, that all seems so easy, but now you got to make every effort to make it work. And that's not so easy. And what he's saying here is that there's things in this word, and we got to pay attention to this because he says, watch, he says, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. So that there are people who handle this word, they don't handle it properly, they twist things that are there. Listen, anybody who's got anything to say, they can use this book, I don't care what it is, to prove their point. You ever notice that? You know? They proof text everything, and they use the Bible to, well, the Bible says, and it's like, but now that's a lot, because the Bible does not prove everything, you know, especially heresy or things. No, you only can do that by twisting it. We have to be aware there are situations like that. Yeah. Just heard a situation the other day where a woman is divorcing her husband. And there was no real good reason for her to divorce him. They just had some problems, and she feels like, they were in a, you know, she wants to do this, and then they're in a prayer time and praying, and someone in the group, didn't know the situation, whatever, and said, God's for you. He's going to lead you through this. What she took to mean is what? God's going to help you through the divorce. And it's like, No. And so all that kind of stuff goes on all the time, twisting the scriptures. And then he says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on guard. You see, this is what growing up means. So he says, be on guard. He says that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and fall from your secure position. Here's the word, but grow. You see it? There's the word. What's the word? Grow. Grow. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Grow. So again, am I growing through what I'm going through? Then flip to the front of the book, okay? Flip to the front of the book. And just try and follow me, okay? Please stay with me. It's always important. Okay, he says, his divine, look, verse 3. He says, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now, listen. We got to let this sink in. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We're at the beginning of the book, okay? Beginning of the book. He says, he's given us everything. Now, listen. That means everything. And it's bad. He's given us everything that pertains what? That we need for life and godliness. Everything. I don't care what we're going through, where we're at, what we're facing, what we're dealing with outside, inside of our lives. Jesus, God, has provided, if you will, the raw materials to do life. And to do life right. Godliness. Now, we got to let that sink in. We got to let that sink in. Because the devil is a master at making us think that adequate provision has not been made for me to grow through this. Will you hear me? You don't know what I'm going through. You know. You don't, you know, you don't know what so-and-so did to me. I don't see my, there is just no way that I can see to grow through this. Now notice I'm not saying go, I'm saying grow. No way to grow through this. And what we have to settle is that lie, lie, lie. Because it says here, he is what? He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. And then he says, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Once again, it's qualifying it. Where we find the stockpile of resources to make it is in our relationship with Jesus. Now, we got to get that. We got to get that down. It always amazes me when I look at Job. You know, there was a time, you know, in my devotions, oh, no, I got to, you know, I'm up to reading through Job. Who wants to read through Job? You know, who wants to look at, stare at suffering in the face, right? And Job made it. And not only did he make it, but I'm talking about superstar making it. Job did. See? Superstar level of making it. And I asked myself the question, how was it that this guy made it, facing all the things that he faced? You talk about suffering loss, you know. The only thing God kept around was his wife. Because I can't say it. I get in trouble. I'm thinking devil and Job's wife. I'm not, that's all I'm going to say. And how was it? Well, because when you read through the book, you see that he translated everything through his relationship, everything into his relationship with God. Everything. You see what I'm saying? He filtered it through his walk with God. Instead of saying, on God, out of here, he did just the opposite. Now, Okay, so just to hear me say that. We're still reading the scripture, aren't we? And he said, through these has been given us very great and precious promises. If I only get this far today without going any further, okay. To each one of us, each one of you sitting in this room, when you came to Christ, deposited into your life were promises by God to you. Promises. Promises. And these promises are identified as great and precious. To each one of you in this room, God has signed off on. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? He has signed off on. He has signed it into reality for your life to make good on promises to you. God has. And he goes on to say, the direction of those promises. He says that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so we have here God's intention for making promise to us. And God making promise to us is that he is going to make me what he's always intended me to be, his son, his daughter, you, Gales, his daughter, me, his son. Now, this is big. This is major. Money can't buy this. MasterCard can't touch this. This is big. There's nothing bigger. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more fulfilling in life. Everything else eventually turns up empty until you get this, and I'm standing proof of it. Everything will turn up empty in your life and in mine until we get this down, until we see that I'm living for this, that I am living for those promises being turned into the provision, participation in my life of being like Christ. That's what it's about. That's life. Everything else turns up unfulfilling, dissatisfying, until we sink our teeth into this. Oh, man, come on. I'm telling you. I thought at one time, and I struggled with life to such an extent that I thought I'd be better off not here. Now, I didn't have suicidal thoughts. I didn't want to take my life, but close, and thinking that, why even should I be alive, you know? And then there is this that comes at you. As long as I am alive, there is yet hope for redemption and for change. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. He's making me like Christ. And then look at, he goes on. Now, I'm not even there yet. Notice these words, chapter 5, or verse 5. He says, for this very reason, make what? Every effort. Make every effort. You got some work to do. Now, the whole side of it is on, in the first couple of verses there that we read, is on God. God this, God that, God this, everything. He's put it in you. He's put it in you. It's all there, a dynamo. And then he says, it's waiting to be tapped. Make every effort. And then he says, add to your faith. Wait a minute, I thought faith was enough. Faith is not enough. You got to round out faith with these other things. And then he lists, what, 7 things. Okay, you can read them there for yourself. But just notice what he says. If you do this, look at verse 10. He says, if you do these things, verse 10, the end of verse 10. Look at, will you read it there? Look at what he says. He says, for if you do these things, what? What's it say? You'll never fall. If you do these things, you will what? Never fall. Wow. That's it. That's pretty impressive stuff if you do these things. So, Lord Jesus, here we are. This word in front of us, help us to sink our teeth into it in the moments that we have left. Let me try to mine out some stuff for you to take away today, okay? God, from the beginning, when I say from the beginning, I mean from when God said, let there be light, B beginning. And then God said, let there be light in the beginning, and he went through and he created, let there be, let there be, let there be. And then it came to you and me, and God stooped down, and in the dirt, he formed me. He formed Adam. And then Adam received God's own breath of life, and that breath of life put into Adam something of God himself, whereby we are able to say, I am made in God's what? How am I made? In his image. So there ought to be a what? Here we go now, watch. A family resemblance. I'm his offspring. You see, there ought to be a family resemblance. And so from the beginning, that's been God's intention. Now we know something happened to that image, right? We know something happened. And that image sunk and has become something way far away from what God intended it to be, right? So far from being Christ-like, I'm more Bob-like than Christ-like because of the entry of a foreign element into God's intention for me that what wants me to go in the opposite direction, right? Are you with me? And so, not only from the beginning, but also from redemption, in which Jesus has come, and by that redemption has said, here, let me take you and put you back in the direction where now there is a pull in your life that's outside of yourself to bring you against the natural inclination of your life to go in the opposite direction, and to go in the opposite direction as quickly as you possibly can. There's now a force available at work in our lives because of redemption called grace. And that grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has been at work in my life since I accepted Christ, where my sins are forgiven. He has deposited his Spirit inside of me. So it's not merely a force exerting pressure from the outside pushing me. It's a force inside of me making me into that which wants to go where? That way. You understand what I'm saying? That's called redemption inside of me. He's working. Oh, the power of that is working. And why is it all there for? He intends to make of us nothing less than to be like and to act like himself. So that the way I act, who I am, God says, oh yeah, he's one of mine. Not like, you ever been in public with your kids and they act out and you just shake your head and walk away? Why are you walking away? I don't know him. You know, I don't know who she belongs to, but not me. Now, I'm exaggerating, but you understand the feeling, you know? I can remember as a kid, my sister Mary, a couple years younger than I am, and oh, I would tease her, relentless. Oh, you can't imagine the things that I did to my sister Mary. She'd be... I can't go into it, it'd take too long. But I remember one time teasing my sister so much, my mother threatened to leave. If you kids don't stop, Bobby, if you don't, I'm leaving this house right now. I mean, can you imagine? That's just incredible. But what God is after in our lives is that, boy, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. My original, you know, why I made Ruluitz, why Jesus came and redeemed him. It's happening in his life. He's acting more like I made him to be. He is more like I want him to be in his life. So this is God's intention for all of us. And let me just read one last scripture, okay, as I pull this to an end here by saying some things to us in conclusion. One last scripture, because this is important for how I want to get us there. So we said, are you growing through what you're going through? And this is otherwise known as growing pains, right? Growing pains. And it's possible to go through stuff and not grow. Okay? I want you to hear that. It is. It's possible because what I want to say, look at here. He says in verse chapter 14, they're on their missionary journey. They're speaking. They're talking to the church like I'm talking to you. On a Lord's Day, they're teaching and preaching. And it says they return to Lystra, Iconium, verse 21, Antioch. And this is their message. They're strengthening the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith. That's what we're doing. And now read the next phrase to see how it is that they strengthen them and encourage them. They strengthen them and encourage them by saying these words to them. Watch. He says that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. Really? You know, it's like, here, sign on to be a Christian. And we just want you to know, as you sign on to receive Christ, your life now is going to be one hardship after the other. Where's the line? Sure. Absolutely. I don't think so. And we have to see that this is exactly what it takes to enter the kingdom. Wow. Do you see it there? Now, most of us who have been alive for any length of time to be aware of it know that life is filled with its hardships. You know, if any of you have not experienced or encountered a hardship, you can leave now. Because, first of all, I'm envious, and who likes people like that anyways? I think you got it all together. Now, we know that's not possible. But do you see what he says here? And so I want to ask you, you know, what's that process like, growing through what you're going through? Let me mention a couple things, okay? Here's the first one. It's going to take time. Time. There is no such thing as instant change in your life or mine. And when there is, if there should be, I believe in miracles. I believe that God works in our lives. I've had encounters with the Lord that has touched me and touched me deeply, dramatically, in a profound way. But yet, when I've gotten up from that divine encounter, there was still what? Work that I had to do to make good on the exchange that just happened by that divine encounter in my life. It takes time. It takes time. You know, so I can't go there. I'm going to waste time. Time. You know, Sister Antonucci used to live next door to the church, the first church that I pastored as senior pastor, raising up the church or whatever, and great Italian name, Sister Antonucci, right? And boy, does she love to cook. They live right next door to the church. There was a path from her house to our house, a path. I'm not kidding you, food, just a steady flow of food. When we left the pastor, we visited one time, she was crying. I said, Pastor, she was, old lady. She and her husband were married 60, 70 years, whatever. And she's crying, she said, brother, and broken, why did you have to leave us? I was feeling the same way. I missed all the food. And she used to say, I'd go over there and she's cooking, you know, behind the stove. I mean, stuff that I never, and I come from an Italian family. She's cooking. You ever hear this? She picked pumpkin flowers, and she's breading the pumpkin flowers and frying them in oil and garlic. I'm like, you're kidding, right? And then she'd say to me, brother, she would say, anything good takes time. You know, because she'd tell me how she'd make all this stuff, and I'm saying, wow, the work. And we have to hear that about what God is after in your life and in mine. It's something good, and it's going to take time. Time. It's going to take what? Time. It's a process that's going to take time. Here's the next one, effort. It's going to take effort. We already looked at this. We already saw this in Scripture. Here's what you and I have to hear about this effort. Because we so talk about grace that we remove from grace the work that's necessary. Here it is. God has his part. You have your part. God will not do your part. Got it? It's going to take effort. You know, it always amazes me when the little bit of sports that I know about. Here's the thing that amazes me. Those of you who are more sports knowledgeable, I hope you will attest to this. Every sport has the fundamentals of that game. So far, am I on track? Every sport has the fundamentals of that game. And I don't want to get into it, but they do. The other thing is this. No matter how good that player is in that particular sport, he never leaves the what? Fundamentals. Everything that player does is what? Built on the fundamentals of that game. It's an amazing thing. You know, who's some of the greats today? I don't know. I don't even know who they are. I could just go back to my era. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, you know, these guys. And, I mean, Larry Bird would show up to practice early and stay late. You know what he'd be practicing? Anybody know? Huh? Free throws, you know, Mike. He'd just stand at the line and practice the fundamentals. Is there any reason, you know, any surprise why he was the best in the league? And then you would also see them practicing. And, you know, how many, baseball players don't show up for batting practice and do well in batting with their average? Zero. They go over the fundamentals, right? They're at batting practice. They got batting coaches. They're swing. The fundamentals of the game. Everything's built on it. Listen, Christian, it takes effort. Of the three fundamentals, you let these three fundamentals go, you have nothing else to build on in growing through what you're going through. The three fundamentals are praying, reading your Bible, and hanging with other people who do the same, also known as going to church. Fundamentals. The fundamentals. Come on, am I talking straight here? Am I talking right on? Bob, good job, Bob. Good job. Effort, you see? Here's the next one. I'm making my way through. Conditions. Listen, there are going to be adverse conditions in your life. Here, wait a minute. Let me prophesy it, okay? Thus says the Lord, there are going to be adverse situations in your life for you to go through. Difficulties, painful situations. Yea, verily. See, you throw that in there, you know it's God, right? Smooth seas don't make experienced sailors. Life is rough. And God's design is that in those kinds of conditions, he uses them to make us what he has always intended us to be. Conditions. And it's in those conditions. You see, you know, when I'm feeling good, I just had the biggest bowl of maple walnut ice cream you can possibly imagine. And I'm having good conversation, you know. Oh, life is good. And Sandra, you know, takes the remote. And because I'm feeling so good at whatever, you know, and I'm in a very giving mood, it's like, you want to watch something now? You know, you want to turn the channel? Go ahead, you know. And out for me just comes just such Christ-likeness. Now, you let me go to the freezer. And the maple walnut carton is in there, but it's empty. And I have to sit down settling for a snack of toast. And when I get there, she already has the remote, and the channel is already turned. From me comes out Bob, not Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Here's the point that I'm making. The conditions. What comes out of you in adverse conditions is who you are, really. Is who I am, really. And never is it, you made me. Never. You can't be made to respond in such a way if it wasn't there in the first place. I'm sorry. Impossible. Impossible, you know? Well, you made me so angry. If you didn't do that, if you didn't say that, I would never have done, never have said, never have acted like that. Wrong. Just wrong. Just wrong. No. The reality is, yes, that was done. Yes, you were provoked. But if that wasn't there to get you, conditions. You understand what I'm talking about with conditions? You know? Thank God he's what? Patient. Here's the next one. Christ-likeness. Is that where I want to go? Effort. No. If I have to quit with this, I'm going to quit with this and not finish. Okay. I want you to follow me on this. This is important. You can be put in a condition of God has special committees of angels that are commissioned with setting you up in the right conditions for your growth. I'm telling you. And he does. He knows just how to arrange the stuff to get at you. And so let's take, this is what I want to make a point, okay? Watch. Let's take Jonah. We all know about Jonah. You say Jonah, what comes to mind real quick? The whale. Before the whale has, now that's the condition. You follow me? The whale is the condition, right? Because Jonah, God said to Jonah, go this way. Jonah said, uh-uh, went that way. God provided what? A condition to come along to do what? Change his life. Right? To make him go the other way. To change his life. Are you with me so far? And so this is happening. Now, what you have to understand about Jonah is this. Not only, it's why was Jonah being disobedient? Why? Why didn't he want to go where God wanted him to go? You say to Jonah, well, you know, something out there is making me not. No, Jonah, something inside your heart is wrong, that God wants a change. Jonah was a racist. Jonah was prejudiced. Jonah had all these kinds of issues with the people that God was sending him to. He didn't like them. He just as soon as God wiped them off the face of the earth as anything. Jonah had an internal problem. And so God sets up the condition. What's the condition? Now, I don't know. It's not every day that you hear about somebody being swallowed by a whale. I mean, it just isn't. And there he is. You read it in Jonah chapter 2. Jonah is where? In the what of the whale? Now, you got to think about this for a moment. Because the belly of the whale, you know, we watch what? Pinocchio, right? And think, oh, wow, what a cool place to be in the belly of a whale. Swish, washing, all this. Oh, how cool. Listen, you are about to go into the digestive tract, which means you're going to be what? And pooped out. Not only are you going to be, Jonah, not only are you about, not only are you fish food, you are about to be fish poop. I'm sorry. Thank you. Brian, thank you. You're dressing this up for me this morning. Thank you. Yeah. So we don't think about that, what's going on there. And so the screws are put into this man. And in the belly of the whale, what does Jonah do? Who knows? What does he do? He repents. He says, God, I'm going to change. And when he says, I'm going to change, what does God do? Spits him out right where he's supposed to what? Be in his life. Jonah, off he goes. Here's the question I want to ask of you. Did the conditions bring growth to Jonah's life? They brought change, but did he grow? No. Because if you know the story of Jonah, when you come to the end and God spares Nineveh, what does Jonah do? He complains, and worse than that, he does pout. He gets angry at God and says, what's going on here? Why? Because there was no growth in Jonah's life. You listen. We can go through things. You know, I know people who have the gastric bypass who've almost died trying to change their lives. Right? Because they're obese. I know people. And after they suffer, almost dying. Their lifestyle changes for a little while, and then they revert back. Now, I'm not making a judgment. I'm just stating some facts. I know it's got to be difficult. But there you have change without what? Without what? Growth. I'm not going to mention the last two because my time is up. I think I said enough. I know when to quit. Okay? And so this is what it takes. And we got to continually ask ourselves, let's stand in his presence. We got to continually be asking ourselves, am I growing through what I'm going through? What's God's intention? God's intention is for me to grow. And that growth is to become more like Christ. See, Bob like Christ. Bob like Christ. You know? I'm not going to be Christ. I'm not going to become God. One is enough of God and he's plenty. You know, but he wants Bob to be like Christ. He wants Bill to be like Christ. He wants Jamie to be like Christ. This is not the only reason worth living for. It's the only reason that makes life worth living for. Take everything else away, and I have that. I have reason for living. Let's pray. Father, I commit this word to your people. You know, God, it's where I live. You know it's what I'm dealing with. You know that I'm speaking to me. And so today, as I let these guys in on overhearing, as it were, what's going on in my own life, I pray that it will mean something very special in all of our lives today. In Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.